What is prayer? There is prayer that is communication us to God, certainly that is true. But that is not the extent of it. We're told in Revelation chapter 5, 8 and Revelation chapter 8 and verse 5 that prayer is an aroma to God. Now, certainly we are told to make our petitions to God. And Jesus said, ask and you will receive. And we are told by God, command ye the works of my hand. So there is certainly prayer that is communication to God regarding specific things. Absolutely. But that is in no way the extent of prayer. That is like having someone you're married to, but having a business relationship to that spouse. Now, that is still communication, but it's not communicating. Or maybe the other way would be better. That is still communicating, but it's not communication. That is exchanging the thought, the idea, presenting the need, but not a union or a communion. Prayer really is that aroma of my life. That is deep prayer. People who know how to pray very deeply frequently say very little. Perhaps they will simply quiet themselves before God and stay that way for some time. And perhaps mention a name. And that may be the extent of their prayers. Now, I don't think that there's any canned pattern of prayer. But those who pray deeply, who really have a life that's rich in prayer, often say very little. Prayer is really me receiving from God and then perhaps responding. Prayer is really a private expression of what goes on in my life if I am a spirit-filled Christian. In other words, a spirit-filled Christian is someone who has this communion going on pretty much all the time with God. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're talking to Him all the time. You can have two people who are very close and perhaps even intimate spouses sitting together but saying nothing for a while and having it be perfectly a wonderful time. They don't necessarily have any words they desire to communicate. They just want the presence to be there, the company. There's a union there. And though words don't need to be exchanged, there's an understanding. Prayer is like that also. The closest relationships people have are those where you simply often, now, of course not always, don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say, but where you simply know what the person is thinking. Or maybe you simply have a sense of that person, although you may not be able to know their thoughts. We don't mind read, clearly. Be careful one thing, though, that you don't think that you're supposed to or that somebody's supposed to mind read your thoughts. That happens. Nobody can read your mind. And you can't read anybody else's. Now, there is a thing, I guess the better way of saying is knowing their thoughts, sensing their spirit. And you sit with someone and you can sense their spirit. And there's an element of discernment that people can generally sense anybody's spirit. But then there's like an intimacy where you almost know what they're thinking. People you're really very close to, very intimate with, you'll have the same thoughts perhaps at the same time. You'll say the same things. You can finish each other's sentences from time to time. There's an intimacy of heart, a closeness of heart there. We can have that with God. That's prayer. When my heart is close in spirit to His, I'm praying. I can be doing anything in any posture, but I'm praying. This is what the Bible means when it says men ought always to pray and not to faint. Well, how do you mean I ought always to pray? How do I get anything done? Well, it doesn't mean that. It means to have that intimacy with God where you are able to communicate or receive from Him at any moment of the day because you are with Him. And because your if you will, your spirit is connected to His spirit. When that happens, you have a sense of each other. Spouses work like that very well when it's a healthy relationship. You have a sense of each other. A spirit is connected to a spirit. The deep calls to the deep. Prayer is like that. You have a sense with God. You know what He's thinking and He knows what you're thinking. And you can sense His presence in your heart. You can sense Him vertically. You know how people say you just can feel someone behind you? In the same sort of a way, you can feel Him vertically, but not an emotion, a sense. When you know how to pray that way, you'll hear from Him. That's when He starts talking. Because you're listening. When you're listening, He will tell you things. Some things He may share with you about His own heart toward regarding things. Sometimes He may show you things about your life as they are. Sometimes, as John 14 says, He'll show you the things to come. But you'll hear His voice. When you're in prayer, you have very few questions. And the reason is that you are connected to the answer. And so there's a oneness of heart and oneness of spirit with God. And your life produces an aroma. That aroma God inhales, it's brought to Him by angels in golden vials and golden censers. And it is an incense to God. And He breathes it in. This is what it means in 2 Corinthians 2:15 that our life is a savor of life and of death. And it really is. Our life is a savor of life and of death. And to those who are dying, it's a savor of life. And to those who are living, it's a savor of death. To the believer, it's a savor of death. To the unbeliever, it's a savor of life. To God, it's a sweet aroma. It's a sweet savor. What does that mean? That means my life to the one who has no life imparts life. But likewise, my life to the one who has the life of Christ imparts death. In other words, my life introduces the cross to whoever I come across. That's prayer. Prayer does that. Often we have this strange thought of prayer as though it is presenting my petition and that is the extent of prayer. Some people, they want to be in a church building because they want a feeling towards their prayer. Regarding their prayer. But it has nothing to do with feelings. Has anybody ever said to you, you're not listening to me, but you were? Why did they think you were not listening? Because it didn't feel like you were listening. They looked perhaps at your posture or looked at maybe where at your eyes or where you were looking, and because they didn't get a sense, a feeling of connectedness to you. And so they said, you're not listening. It doesn't work like that with God. You may wonder if God is listening, and the answer is yes, He is. The Bible says He inclines His ears to listen to us. He's very intimately concerned with the thoughts of your heart and the desires of your heart. God knows how to answer prayer. You see, we sometimes say, God, I would like such and such. But something different comes out. Do you know why that is? Well, it's that incense, it's that aroma principle. We ask in words, and God receives an aroma. And He responds to the aroma that He receives. And so the answer to the prayer is according to what He received from us. See that thing about God looks at the heart while man looks at the outward appearance? That's important in prayer. Because in my own mentality, I look at myself according to my outward appearance, looking from the inside out. But yet I take it according to the way things seem to me about me. But there's a problem when I do that. And that's the fact that I don't actually know my own heart. My heart is deceitful and above all things desperately wicked. So I may pray according to that which is in my heart, but I have to understand something, that my heart is deceitful and above all things desperately wicked. So though I may pray according to what is in my heart, it may not necessarily be the aroma that I think that I am requesting of God. It is perhaps in the aroma, it is something different. Sometimes I don't know what I desire, I just think I do. And it's not because of the deceitfulness of my heart, it's because of the lack of my own understanding. And so I can say to God, Lord, would you give me this? And it doesn't come. Why doesn't it come? Well, there's a couple of different possibilities. Perhaps it will come and it simply isn't the right time. And that is entirely possible. But perhaps God will not bring it. Does that mean that He did not answer the prayer? No, it doesn't. It means that He did. I just didn't know what I prayed. It is possible for a believer to ask God for something but not know what he's asking for. And if God could reveal to them perhaps the future or the truth of matters or whatever, a view into people's hearts or a view into a perfect understanding of circumstances, then the believer would understand that that person does not know what they are asking for. So God sees these things when we pray, and He has an aroma that is coming from us. And so perhaps I pray for a certain thing, but my words are not the aroma that God is receiving. Or perhaps they are. I don't mean to make this sound like it's always a negative. It's certainly not. Usually it's not. But I'm trying to define what it is that God receives. I say, God, can you give me a car? And there's a certain aroma to that prayer. And perhaps God will say, here. Or perhaps God will say, this other thing, according to the aroma. Sometimes we pray very selfishly. And God answers according to the aroma, not to the request that I've uttered, but to the odor I have produced. And so God breathes in my prayers. He says, I know that smell. I know that aroma. I know what that means. Have you ever considered that as a means of communication? Smell. There's one for the CIA. that a smell can mean something. How many people have smelled, let's say, a candy store, and it means something? And you can bring very vivid images into your mind of the meaning of that odor. Our aroma, the incense that comes to God through our prayer, means something. This is why the deepest prayers are not those that have many words, but those that produce an impression upon God. It's a heart, not a sentence. We don't pray in sentences. We pray in hearts. The words themselves don't really necessarily mean that much unless they reflect the true condition of the heart. Frequently people will get upset because they're not receiving answers to prayer for a season. And they may get upset with God, even angry. But why is it that God didn't answer? You see, and this goes back to what we were talking about earlier this evening, about what is it exactly that I am upset about? That I didn't get something, do you believe? Do you believe what God said when He said, if you ask, you shall receive? What are you asking for? God answers according to your heart, not according to your words. And certainly we can communicate to God practical needs, and certainly we should communicate to God practical needs and desires. God, I would like this. Or God, I would like that. I would like this happen. And yes, we do communicate to Him in those words. But the words come out of the heart. And God answers the heart. And it doesn't have to be anything deep and emotional even. It's just my condition before Him. And so I pray with my life. And I do spend time communicating to Him. But I pray with my life. I find it interesting, sometimes the prayers that are answered the fastest are the ones that almost seem like they're off the cuff. But those were simply reflections of the heart. And God answers. Sometimes the things that I pray for the most fervently and most repeatedly and most deeply, in some cases, certainly not in all, but in some cases, those are the ones that don't get answered. Why? Because those times often, why do I pray so much about it? Maybe there is an element that I want something more than what He would have for me. Not that I want more in quantity or more in quality, just different from His plan. And it's become a lust issue, perhaps. God, give me, God, give me, God, give me, God, give me, God, give me. God says, I heard you, I heard you, I heard you, I heard you. Or more appropriately, I smelled it, I smelled it, I smelled it, I smelled it. When you pray, again, there is no canned thing, but from the example that the Lord gave us, in the Lord's Prayer, keep it simple. Just bare your heart to Him. Don't try to make it flowery, and don't try to be impressive to God. I always thought it was funny, those people who pray in King James English. Why do you do that? Do you talk like that to your friend? Do you talk like that to your spouse? Hello, dear. How art thou? How wast thy day? And what service thou for dinner? Wouldn't that sound weird? You know what? It sounds equally weird to God when we pray religiously. Oh, He understands the heart. And there are people who pray that way, but the heart is what God looks at, and the heart is there. But you don't have to. When you pray, talk to Him. Just talk to Him. And if you don't have anything more to say, then just sit with Him or stand with Him. It's prayer also. Prayer really is just living with God and knowing it. I find it interesting what Jacob said. He didn't know how to pray yet. The Lord was in this place and I didn't know it. There was a man who did not know how to pray yet. But then he turns around and he said, I've seen God face to face and I lived. That's the man who knew how to pray. Prayer is communion, but more than communion. A union and a communion and a fellowship and a oneness and a life with God. It's very simple. Just be still and be available. And that way when He speaks, you'll hear Him. And when your heart cries out, you'll be praying to Him. Amen.